voiceamerica.com.
Wishing you a happy Halloween, the tail end of what's left of the candy giving day and the ghoulish, goblin-y, scary kind of moments you might have had the last couple of days. Anyway, Halloween, there's always a big buildup. I like Halloween. I do. I don't know what it is about it. From childhood on, there was just something different about Halloween, making the costume. Maybe it's that whole pretending you're somebody else. See, the politicians do it, and they get paid for it. The rest of us, we get the fantasy one day a year. And the costumes were interesting, I'd have to say, from the Avatar characters, the Jersey Shore crew, that was big this year. Always the witches and the pirates and the goblins and the ghouls and the zombies. That's always a big deal, I think. And I don't know if you had any trick-or-treaters in your neighborhood. It's interesting to see where that's gone. It used to be you'd grab a couple of pillow sacks and you'd run up and down the streets and you would fill those suckers like nobody's business. Probably ridiculous how much candy you got, because certainly you couldn't eat all that candy even if you wanted to. Even if you hid it from your mother, there was no way. But now times have changed and there's sort of the homogenized trick-or-treating that goes on for the fear of something happening. So often they're controlled environments, whether it's in a mall or in a church parking lot or somewhere else. Sometimes it's the setup deal. The traditional knock on the door, though, and say trick or treat, I think is still around for some of us. I'm wondering if you had a lot of trick or treaters, or are you kind of the person that turns off the lights and says, I want nothing to do with trick or treat. I'm sorry, I'm going to have my house look dark. And I think it's interesting, on my block, it was kind of one of those bah humbug, because we got that other holiday coming up. It was one of those bah humbug moments, but not for me. I did it up. I decorated it. I wanted kids to come to the door. I think it's great that they get to pretend and play somebody else for a day and knock on the door and meet their neighbors and scream out trick or treat. So I counted just for all of you, because I'm wondering how many you had, and I had 30 trick-or-treaters. Now, some of them were all in one group, but in pure numbers, 30. So that's not bad, right? But I'm venture to say that maybe two decades ago, maybe even 15 years ago, in some neighborhoods, 75, 100 would pedal on through. And then hit the next house and hit the next house and hit the next house. Anyway, so it is kind of a trick-or-treat show for us. We do have some great treats for you, including Andrew Clavin is going to join us. And it's always fun to spend time with him and pick his brain. He's a screenwriter slash successful author. He's had a couple of his books be turned into movies, and then he's got a couple that are optioned to be going into movies, too, as well. And he has a lot of thoughts on politics, and it's gotten really, really interesting these last couple of days. I know I always say that, but we're down to the nitty-gritty here, because Tuesday is the day that you go to the polls. So the battle lines are clearly, clearly drawn, and have been for some time. The battle for the Senate and the battle for the House. A lot of people now feel like, no joke, the Republicans might have the House within their grasp. The Senate may be a different story. The Senate still could be Democratic. The control. It's kind of a frenetic, it was kind of a frenetic final weekend for those who are in tight races. And you had the president do a four-state swing to drum up support for the Senate candidates in Connecticut and Illinois and Ohio and Pennsylvania, hoping to wrap his arms around this thing and protect the Democrats' Senate majority from Republican gains, obviously. So the Republicans did the same thing. Who do you think would be on the tour for the Republicans? That would be Sarah Palin. She made a last-minute trip to West Virginia to ask voters there to push for the Republican to fill the seat of Senator Robert Byrd. Remember, he held that for, wow, like 51 years. So she was pushing in that direction. And here's the deal. Pretty much five contests that are toss-ups. I mean, real toss-ups. And we've talked about them ad nauseum on this show over and over and over again, are going to determine if the Democrats get control of the Senate or regain control of the Senate is the best way to put it. So in looking at it, the Republicans are trying to, of course, get their hands on Democratic strongholds in Nevada, Illinois, Colorado, Pennsylvania, and Washington. If they were able to sweep those, they would still need an extra push. That push could be, that's why, going to West Virginia. The push could be West Virginia. The push could be California, where it looks like the Democrats might be getting an edge. Originally, it was thought Carly Fiorina had a little bit of a leg up on Barbara Boxer. Now it's kind of swinging in the opposite direction. So are the Republicans really on the cusp of expanding the presence in the Senate, taking over control of the Senate? They need everything to be perfectly timed. You know that whole thing about opportunity and that timing deal? It has to really be working their way because they have to gain 10 seats to win control. And because of the economy, we know all this, and the unemployment, and the sour, hard feelings about taxes, and the Bush tax credits expiring, and what's happened in the housing industry, there is a sour feeling around a lot of the Democrats, because they're the people in control for the most part. But that has nothing to do with incumbents, because remember, yes, there are Democratic incumbents who fall into that category, like your Harry Reid, for example, or Barbara Boxer in California. But at the same time, remember, there are Republicans who are longtime incumbents, too. And some think all incumbents, period, if you just cleared the board, if you got rid of all the incumbents, that would make the difference. All right, coming up, we're going to zig and zag all over the place because what happened in your backyard besides Halloween? Probably a few other things that you'll want to know about, including something that happened a little bit outside of our backyard but almost created a terroristic act in the Midwest. I'll explain if you haven't heard the story about what happened with a parcel bomb, or actually bombs, plural. That's coming up on the flip side.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. October 29th, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1,352.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,387.51, $693.75 for a half ounce, or $346.88 for the quarter ounce. That's $1,387.51, $693.75, or $346.88.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Like 100 years old. I'm going to say Ghostbusters, though, still is one of those cool movies where if you're sitting on the couch and you're flipping around, you kind of stop on it and you'll watch it a little bit. Bill Murray, hilarious, I thought, in that movie. He wasn't the only one. And it's kind of funnier now when you watch it because of how, I'm going to use the word kitschy, how kitschy it is. And I thought it was good. And then you have, of course, all the cameos at the end and all that sort of stuff and Sigourney Weaver in it and the whole idea of the ghost busting, like the song says. But Happy Halloween, what's left of it, like I said, when we first started this show, for those of you who partake in the holiday, maybe you went to a costume party, maybe you didn't do anything, maybe you just answered the door and handed out some candy and saw some cool costumes. I don't know. But trick-or-treating used to be fun. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of trick-or-treating, is it a trick or a treat? Who's running in your backyard? You get to vote on Tuesday. Remember, we the people, never forget that. And don't give me this nonsense of, oh, it doesn't matter. Because if more people thought it mattered, at least on these local and state levels, and I think even congressionally, if enough people went out and voted, it would change things. You could argue about the presidential election and the Electoral College and how much tougher that would be, where you could say, well, it's not going to make any difference. But I think in the other races, it can make a huge difference. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Kate? Hi, Kate. I'll make this quick. Back in 1969, I had a friend named Mike, and he had a brand new 68 Dodge Charger. And so it was a thing back in his part of the territory that every Halloween they would do the dare thing. And one of the dares was to go out to Gore Orphanage Road, because during the 1860s, there was an orphanage out there that burned down, and a whole bunch of kids disappeared because of it. And all around, there'd be bats and crickets and stuff like that, but out there, it was wild, woolly forest, and there was no sound at all. So they dared each other to go out there. So Mike and his girlfriend and this guy and his girlfriend all went out there, and they started walking around the ruins of what was Gore Orphanage.
Mm.
All of a sudden, out of the woods came this white fog, and it covered everything, including their car. And the girls got scared, and they said, let's get out of here. And so Mike and them all ran for the car, and they got in the car, and they turned on the lights. And they did, across the hood appeared the footprints of a small child, and they kept coming. Mike turned on the ignition, put it in gear, and burned rubber all the way down Gore Orphanage Road, and they never, ever went back.
And you believe him?
I believe him. Mike was straight as a string.
Yeah, I that's a cool story. I mean, a cool story in the sense that I believe him, too. Because, you know, sometimes there's something to that, and somebody trying to ward you off of, or I think there's something a little bit more powerful sometimes that is hard to put into words, and then people think you're crazy about it. But I think that there are people that get those feelings or appearances or whatever, and I think they're very, very real. That was a cool story.
Well, thank you. Well, about the trick-or-treaters, me and Bobby was the biggest trick-or-treaters here. He's my nephew. Mm-hmm. And we gorged out on candy. We had one or two up and down the street, but that was basically it, because here in Texas, you know, they're religious. And so they do the church thing where everybody goes to the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
opens up their trunks, and all the kids get to go to all the different cars and trick-or-treat the church members.
Right.
So that's what my daughter and her children did, and that's what went on all around here. And so that was that. Now, the last thing is, don't worry, I'm going to vote, and so are all my friends, and we're going to get rid of these Democrats once and for all, because we don't want a 1% tax on every financial transaction we make.
Yeah, amen. I don't want a 1% tax on all my financial
transactions
either.
Something else for you. Also, if you have a home that you're going to sell or a price of property you're going to sell, in the Obamacare bill, there's also a 3.5% tax now on any financial transaction regarding the sale of a house as well.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with health care, huh?
Nothing, but it's a thing that you can stick in there where people don't notice it, and then all of a sudden it comes to light, and it's all about backpedaling. You're right.
Yep. Okay, well, yeah. I'll let you go, and you have
Hate
a good
that.
Night.
All right, you too. Thanks for sharing. Dan saying that what I said, a lot of the trick-or-treating stuff now, you don't get that much on the streets. It's more churches or malls or controlled environments where the kids go from maybe even classroom to classroom. In some cases, schools set it up that way so they can kind of control what's happening with the candy, and there's not the stranger issue thing. Too bad, huh? In a way, it's too bad, because I think there was something innocent about it before, or maybe it wasn't. You're a kid, you just want all the candy, and you find out who had the best candy, and you would always go to that place. But the fact that you could just go and you weren't worried, you weren't thinking, oh, there might be a razor blade in this apple or a pedophile who answers the door, and who knows what will happen. Sick and sad, isn't it? Hopefully you didn't have a good Halloween wherever you were. If you did anything, maybe you just kicked back and who cares, it doesn't matter, you were watching games. And we'll get to sports shorts coming up a little bit later on the show in the tail end of this hour, because you have the World Series going on, and now that's almost coming to a close if the Giants have their way. And a full slate of action in the NFL, and we'll talk about that as well and some other things. All right, big stories to mention from over the weekend, huge stories. One, you had Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, who had their rally in Washington. It was kind of a star-studded event, really, and a little bit lighthearted, if you will. Just kind of funny moments from the rally to restore sanity and the end or fear is what they called it. And the message was about Americans turning their backs on hate and working together to make the world a better place. So during the rally's opening, Colbert appeared on a screen saying he was trapped in his fear bunker and was worried no one had shown up. And then there was people screaming about that. And then there was the former Saturday Night Live character, Father Salducci, who was there too, did a benediction. There were a whole bunch of other things like that. And that's what it was. It was a tongue-in-cheek deal. There were thousands of people there. I don't think it was quite as big as what Glenn Beck drew, but there were definitely people on hand, and they poked fun of a whole lot of things. And remember, Glenn Beck's much publicized rally on the National Mall, which there was huge crowds, was called Restoring Honor. So we jump now to overseas, which could have been a disaster for us here at home. Did you hear the story, and you might have caught it over the weekend, about the packages that might have made their way, and I'm saying a lot of mites here, that might have made their way to the U.S. And there's a Saudi national suspect in the bomb plot. And the whole thing here was loading bombs onto, you know, various jets that would have come into, like there was one on Friday. And what would have happened here was they found two packages. The folks at the United Arab Emirates and in England found two packages with explosives that were supposed to go to synagogues in Chicago, Illinois. So they believe the Al-Qaeda bomb maker, Al-Arsuri, is linked to the packages, 28-year-old guy. The explosives found in the packages were the same material found in the underwear bomb attack in the U.S. It basically, what we're talking about is organic compound that has the same chemical family as nitroglycerin, so 6 grams of what they call PETN, enough to blow a hole in a fuselage of an aircraft, and the same thing with what could have happened perhaps at the synagogue. Now, this Al-Arsuri was also suspected in the attempted bombing case with Abdullah Mutallab, the guy who almost blew up the plane that was headed to Detroit ultimately on Christmas Day. So how about that? And this guy is on, or his brother anyway, is on the Saudi Arabia's most wanted list. Boy, interesting stuff, huh? Scary stuff, actually. But it didn't happen. It was foiled. That's the good news. All right, coming up next, we're talking elections. Hang with us.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier risk-free for 30 days. JCN listeners get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at breathebetterair.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Genesis.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish and M10 gas masks are 3 for $30, and Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Yeah, so who is going to make the move? We were talking about this right at the top of the show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The polls are predicting some big gains for Republicans. In some cases, saying that the House is absolutely going to go the way of the GOP, but the Senate is a little dicier. I broke that down for you, some of the key races. So what do you think happens here in the next couple of days, and how many of you are going to get out and vote? Always fun to chat with our pal Andrew Klavan. He's a Hollywood screenwriter, novelist, and I think he's just going to take over the world, actually. He's got some great political opinions, and he's got a new book coming out called The Identity Man. We're going to talk about that in a second. You can snap that up on Amazon. His stuff is always really super good. This is unsolicited, too. Andrew's not paying me to say this. Andrew, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks a lot, Kate, and I would have paid you if you'd asked me. I just want you to know that.
Your books are great. I mean, they're great. They're great reads. This is my idea of a good book, and I'm sure you, growing up and reading so much and then writing your whole life, it's the book that sucks you in. It's the book that you don't want to put down, so you're in a line somewhere and you're pulling it out or you're taking it with you on the train or whatever it is, and you can't, you know, you want to get to the end of it. You want to know how the story ends.
That's always been my goal, is to write books that move like a, you know, just a train, a bullet train. But then at the end of it, when you put it down, you also have stuff to think about, you know. So I want the story to just grip you, take you along. And when it dumps you out on the other end and you're kind of breathless and you're thinking, you think, gee, I really have seen something I didn't think I was going to see. So that's been my goal since I started out.
Yeah, well, you definitely have done a great job of that. Let me get your take on what you think's happening. There's a zillion polls, whether it's Zogby or whether it's Rasmussen or, you know, a slew of others that are predicting all kinds of different things. But the ones that I've read lately, a lot of them are saying substantial gains for Republicans. Do you think that's what's going to happen, or is that just what's being pumped out there?
Well, I'll tell you what I feel. I mean, over at Instant Pundit, Glenn Reynolds keeps saying, don't get cocky, don't get cocky. but I feel, I can't help feeling that it's going to be an even bigger blowout than some of the polls are saying. The reason I say that, there are a couple of reasons I say it. One is the polls generally do favor Democrats. They always overestimate the Democrats. Even the conservative polls do this. They always overestimate the Democrats. And I think this time, that's going to be a double trouble, because I think not only are there fewer people who are going to vote Democrats, a lot of the Democrats aren't going to turn out. The other thing I really do believe is that this administration is so alienated from the feelings of people, you know, the way people feel about this country, the direction people feel this country should go in, and they don't know it. I think they're completely clueless to what most people are thinking. The Tea Party's come out, and they're really just ordinary Americans defending constitutional law and small government, things that Americans have been in favor of forever. And the press just unleashes on them. Oh, they're racist, they're enraged, they're terrible, you know, they're bigots. And I just think that this separation, this alienation between the elites in this country who are in Washington and Hollywood and New York and the rest of the country is wider than it's ever been. And I think we're going to see that at the polls.
Yeah, I agree. It's like the middle class is completely not represented and pushed out somehow and getting squeezed in. Do you get that feeling that the ordinary folks are just caught up in the middle of this thing?
Yes, and I even believe the traditionally, Democrat voters, blue collar guys, the working guy, even a minority, a substantial number of minorities are beginning to realize these policies don't work. I mean, I'm against a lot of these policies because I feel that they inhibit freedom. I feel that they're unconstitutional. I feel they're against the American way of government from the bottom up, rather than the top down. But they also don't work, you know. These liberal policies destroy our cities. They lead to high crime rates. They bog people down in terrible practices like illegitimacy, which just throws people into generational poverty. And they strengthen our enemies, you know. When you sit around and fire a Juan Williams because he says Muslims make them nervous on planes, you know, that just encourages people. It encourages the worst of the group. I know that most Muslims aren't violent people, but this encourages the violent among them by giving them a kind of a cowl of silence to hide under. I just think these policies make things worse for everyone, and we just have to learn that. We learned it with Jimmy Carter. We're learning it again with Barack Obama.
Yeah, you know, you bring up the Juan Williams thing, the most ridiculous thing, I think, to date, illustrating how far political correctness has gone way over to the other side. And then the way Vivian Schiller handles it at NPR, I just do not understand. Were they looking for the big black eye? Because I think even people that really like NPR think, whoa, what's going on here? Because a lot of the affiliates I heard were threatening to drop, and that's why she came out with the apology.
Yeah, well, they should. I mean, they really should be defunded for this. I think it is. It's everything that American journalism should not be. And what it is it's this idea of identity politics, that by criticizing individual behaviors of people, you're somehow criticizing the group. So if you say, hey, you know, I don't care if you're gay, but don't march down the street naked, you know, it's not right, it offends the sensibilities of your neighbors, suddenly you're homophobic. If you say, hey, you know, I don't care what you call God when you pray, but, you know, there is a violent segment of your religion you're going to have to deal with, suddenly you're Islamophobic. You can't silence people like that. It only increases their anger and makes them more unreasonable. And I think that journalism is supposed to get the facts out there without comment. It's supposed to tell us what's going on and let us make the decisions. But these people, these elites, are so arrogant. They think we're not capable. They think we're racist. They think we're stupid. They call us afraid. They call us all kinds of names. And that's why they think they have the right to manipulate journalism like this. And they got caught doing it in this case.
Yeah. Midterm election turnout, do you think, and I'm getting excited about it, but I always get up for the whole election thing and think that I hear the rumble in the jungle, and this time I really do feel it a little bit differently. Do you think we're going to see big numbers, big turnout?
I think we're going to see big turnout from the energized people who are mostly on the right. That's what I think. I think the base always turns out, but elections are determined by independents, determined by the people who say, you know, I don't like what's happening, I'm going to go this way, or I like what's happening, I'm going to go that way. And I think those people, there are a lot of people who really, really, really dislike what's going on. They're doing it, playing a very dangerous game with a very fragile economy. They're being bullying. They've been dirty. They've played backroom deals. They've been insulting. They've been divisive. I'm running out of adjectives, but they've played us off against one another. They've said, oh, the rich have to be punished, or they're taking money away from the poor, which isn't true. Barack Obama told Latinos they have to punish their enemies and reward their friends, which is absurd and obscene. They're suing Arizona for trying to defend its border. They just trying to turn us all against one another, and I don't think that's the way Americans want to be governed, and I don't think it's the way they want to be.
No, I agree with you. Tell us about Identity Man.
Identity Man, I'm really excited about this book. Identity Man is about a kind of a petty thief who gets in trouble. He's framed for a murder he didn't commit, and he's on the run, and the police are closing in. He's facing life imprisonment, maybe lethal injection. And he gets a chance. A mysterious stranger offers him a chance for a brand new life. He gets a new face, a new name, new records. And he thinks he's going to get a shot at redemption, and instead he finds himself tangled in the corruption of a big city run by identity racial politics, and it's so corrupt and so deadly that, again, he finds the world kind of closing in on him, and it's how he tries to find his way to a new life before somebody kills him. And so that's the story. It's about a man caught in a city destroyed by identity politics.
Sounds familiar, I think. I can see where you got some of your material a little bit. How about this other thing? Because I was really, really excited for you when I heard that Summit Entertainment is creating film adaptations of the Homelander series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's really cool. Homelanders is a young adult series about a kid who goes to sleep one night and he wakes up in the clutches of Islamic terrorists. And there are now three books out in the series. The new one is called The Truth of the Matter. And Summit Entertainment, they're the guys who did Twilight and they did the Hurt Locker. Mm-hmm. And they've optioned it for film. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I'm not going to be the screenwriter on it. They're going to hire a screenwriter to do it. But I'm really excited to see, you know, where they go with it. And if they keep some of the, you know, it's not, as everything I write, it's not exactly politically correct. And I'm going to be interested to see if the movies can handle some of the stuff I talk about.
Yeah, what's that, when they hire someone else to do the screenwriting, is that okay? Is that sometimes good, maybe, because you're so close to the material, or eh?
Yeah, no, it really is good, I think. You know, I have adapted my own stuff. It can be done. Usually the best way for that to happen is if I do it many years after I've written the book. I'm kind of close to this. I don't really want to tell the story all over again right now. I think it's a good thing. And I think that, movies and books are very different art forms. And it doesn't bother me at all when they bring in, you know, a career screenwriter to adapt something.
All right, we'll look forward to that. And so everybody go out and pick up Identity Man. You can get it on Amazon.com and all over the place. And check out Andrew, by the way, andrewclavin.com. You get a real sense of what makes him tick if you go to that website. Andrew, as always, thanks for stopping by America Tonight.
It's a great pleasure, Kate. I'll talk to you again.
All right, absolutely. So it's interesting now what's happened with Andrew. You heard him talking there about Identity Man being one of the few politically incorrect guys in Hollywood. And it kind of goes along with what we're talking about, that weird disparity between the truth and what's really happening in our culture and how infuriating that is to so many of us. I mean, that's like the thrust of America Tonight. The idea that there's so much that you cannot talk about in certain circles because it's just not correct. And you certainly know my philosophy. I'm absolutely for the smaller government, definitely the Tom Jefferson point of view, if we wanted to go back to our founding fathers. All right, coming up on the flip side, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm going to throw out some sports, get you caught up to date on that, and also some other things that are ticking across the land. Hang with us.
Mm-hmm. to ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Most people know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fighting for their life in the World Series. It was orange and black, perfect for Halloween, but not perfect for the team in Texas, as now the Giants have a 3-1 lead in that World Series finale and that showdown. So if they win the next game, that's it. You know, pretty much they control the destiny of this thing, and the Rangers would have to reel off a bunch of wins. What's interesting is a rookie pitcher was just incredible. I mean, he was hitting everything, whether he's bringing it inside or a little bit outside. He was mixing in a curveball. He was just had good, good stuff, as they say. Madison Bumgarner is his name, and he dominated Ranger hitters for 8 innings. He was the definite difference maker. Aubrey Huff, Buster Posey, each went yard, and the Giants put a hurting on the Texas Rangers at home in front of the home crowd. Game 4. So like I said, they've got one win. They're one win in front of that World Series title, and they take it to the field again on Monday. Hey, this kid, too, he was so poised. 21 years old, only 3 hits, and he pretty much sucked the wind out of that stadium. Good for him. The Rangers will counter with their ace, Cliff Lee. Let's see what he can do after being shellacked the last time around in the city by the Bay. So that's where that stands. Our game of the week, and Nail the Score, is the Monday game, as you all know. So don't be concerned about nailing the score, because we won't know until we know what happens on Monday. But some interesting things happened, just as a quick aside, in the wonderful game of football in the NFL. Here we are, week 8, and you had things like the Saints outlasting the Steelers 20-10. You know, I was one of those people, too. I thought, man, this is it, Pittsburgh. They look like they could go all the way. I was talking about Big Ben, but Drew Brees was knocked around, and he was able to regain his focus. And that was a big game, I think, for the Saints, to say the least. Crazy what happened with the Vikings. Brett Favre now again injured. This time he needed stitches in his chin after he left the game. And unfortunately for the Vikings, they had a great chance to win the game. In fact, I was keeping tabs on it earlier when the first half of the game, and I thought, wow, they're going to pull this out. This would be big to knock off the Patriots, because, you know, they're deadly. The Patriots are might be silent to some people, but they're very deadly. And in the end, Minnesota ended up losing 28-18. And what a tough loss that was, because it just didn't look like that was – it looked like they had the opportunities. They kept blowing the opportunities, actually. And like I said, the quarterback ends up with a cut chin, 2 fractures in his left foot, and tendonitis, of course, he has in his right elbow. You know, what's the deal with Brett Favre? He says he's going to be fine. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, and that he would be ready for next Sunday's game against Arizona. And Brad Childress, the Vikings coach, says, well, he needed 10 stitches, but he praised Favre for being so durable and being able to withstand, you know, the pressure and everything else that he endured during this. And there's some crazy moments, like I said, in this game. Now, we know that Matt Johnson was completely eyeballing what was happening with the Vikings. And were you surprised at some things that happened that screwed it up for the Vikings? Because I really thought they were going to win it.
Once again, this comes down to coaching failures. And I've never been that big of a fan of Brad Childress. And he went for it again on 4th and goal and didn't get the touchdown, so he didn't get any points on that. Just the same as what happened, I think it was last week or the week before. I can't even remember what game it was, because there were so many mistakes. He got a little challenge happy, I think, because he didn't challenge the play in Green Bay. And so he challenges another play this week where there wasn't any excuse for it. And I think there's just a lot of coaching mistakes going on, and it's the ship is sinking.
Yeah, the ship is sinking for the Vikings, and the Vikings aren't the only ones who are seeing their ship sink. The Dallas Cowboys are 1-6 now. 1-6. A horrible day for the Cowboys, who couldn't have gotten anything right in their game. I mean, absolutely nothing went the way of the Dallas Cowboys. It was kind of that, it was weird. It was kind of that kind of weekend, and here you had It was a home game for them. You had Jerry Jones being interviewed by the 60 Minutes guy. I can't think of his name now. And it was just a shellacking, a serious hurt put on them. And that might be, they may be the worst game, or they may be the worst team now, I think, in the NFL. And it was the Jags that just really annihilated them, had their number right from the start. It was mistakes, bungled mistakes, and John Kitna not being able to it wasn't, I wouldn't even put it so much on John Kitna. He had problems, but he wasn't the only one who had problems. I would just say it was crazy mistakes, and, you know, they just piled it on, and in the end, Jacksonville just blew them out. That's the best way to put it. All right, let's head out to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Talking about wild and crazy football, your CFL team, I say it is because you talk to me all the time. The Alouettes won on the last play of the game, but it was, how shall I put it, weird. Montreal's kicker tries a field goal. It goes wide. Now, don't forget, in Canada, you know, field goal goes wide. I mean, you can still, the other team can kneel it down and Montreal would get a single point. But what the Toronto kicker did, he kicks it out. Kicks it back to the Montreal kicker, who kicks it back to the Toronto guy. The Toronto guy, he goes off him. Then Montreal bounces on it, scores for a touchdown. The officials got together and saying, okay, because don't forget, here in Canada, we have our famous no yards rule. They got together and they said, after further review, play stands, Montreal wins. So they won via touchdown on the last play of the game. So talking about, you know, how weird it can get in Canadian football, because don't forget, we have our rules and you have your rules. So, you know.
Right.
Everything's different. Okay, is the Dallas Cowboy, I know you brought it up, is the Dallas Cowboy head coach, is he the first one to get canned this year?
They keep saying that Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, which is true, he's never fired a coach mid-season.
Right.
So it may be, okay, we'll just ride this thing out because here we are 1-6, how bad does it get? And there's no way, they don't turn this around, their schedule's too hard. Even
right.
if they did turn it around, they're not going to win enough games to get in the playoffs. I mean, they're toast. I think Wade Phillips is gone, but I don't know if he waits, if he does the traditional thing that he's done the entire time he's been the owner. I think he waits till the end of the season, I guess, because there's nothing to do at this point other than
right.
throw everything against the wall.
Right, and, you know, there's a team I'm supporting. I mean, they found another way, unfortunately, to lose another ball game. Buffalo Bills.
I know. That was crazy. Boy, they're a terrible team.
Oh, yeah. And next week, they're going to be playing their home game up in Toronto. And I was checking the internet sites. People are literally giving away tickets.
That's right. Hey, you want to come see a game? This is where you can see it. Don't worry. The once big, bad, amazing Bills are nothing like what they used to be.
And
thanks, Sam.
The Bears.
The Bears, I know. And the Bears should easily have a time with them, I think. Thanks, Sam. Have a good one. I'm going to leave you with this because we're getting close to Election Day. It was Andrew Lack who said bad officials are elected by good citizens who do not vote.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.
Look what you did, you little jerk.